Sarah, that is a unique song that talks about the specialness of our relationship with our Lord. Good song. Competition is an intense part of our world. If you were to look up the word in the dictionary, there are all kinds of relationships to competition, which I wasn't aware of. They have these categories of competition. They are listed as biological, sociological, territorial, economic, political. All I was thinking about was sports and competition. And I found all of these things that were there. But I'd like to talk about sports and competition. In all probability, this is the way that we understand athletics in a real sense. It is the competition against someone else. If I were to say the World Cup, or the Stanley Cup, or the World Series, or the Super Bowl, or Wimbledon, or the Olympic gold, I wouldn't have to say a whole lot else other than competition. They who are striving to train to be the best at what they do in everything that they do. And that's the definition of competition in that way. From the simplest to the most intense of what we have, we live in a competitive world bent on being the best that we possibly can be. If we can, the best of the best in what we're doing. Going higher, being stronger, having the longest stamina, running faster and farther than anybody else. Even in other parts of our world, we can think of the CMA Awards, or we think about the Grammy Awards, or if you really want to boil it down to something very simple, you can talk about a spelling bee, which is the concept of competition. Who is the best speller that we have here? And everyone who enters it to win. If you don't go in thinking that you're going to win, if you don't go in being trained into the very best that you can be, then you're not going to win. You've missed it. But in a real sense, when we think about all of it and we think about what's happening, it is that you have entered it to win everything that is there. Now, competition, even in a sports way, includes competition against nature, climbing Mount Everest and being able to reach the top, or El Capitan that we can have. Competition against nature, sailing around the world. We can even compete against things that aren't even human and compete against them and say, can I be the best? Can I ultimately win the victory in this area? The Bible is a book of competition. Oh, you say, that's not true. It can't be. It's not there. I want to challenge you a little bit. And if you've been with us over the last few weeks, we have taken on the study of the book of Hebrews, one particular chapter. For those of you who have been here for a while, which chapter this is a test. This is a test. Which chapter are we studying? 12. Very good. All right, I'm so glad you got that answer. I'm thinking, oh my. We have been looking at Hebrews chapter 12, which is a chapter all about running the race. We have been dealing with this on and on and on. And this entire chapter doesn't leave that theme. It's constantly set before us here. It's constantly something that he calls back to our mind and some of the things that are happening for us. If we look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 1, it talks about, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It talks about discipline in verse 4. We have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And it talks about the discipline that he gives to us in our lives. And we drop down to verse 11 that we looked at before, and it talks a little about the training that we are to have. Actually, in verse 10, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but for our profit that we may be takers of the holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit. It is that though to those who have been trained by it. And it's this idea that, in a sense, in Hebrews chapter 12, we are in it to win it. I want you to constantly keep that at the forefront of your mind as we go through this day and the next few weeks, because that's going to be our theme. We are in it to win it. We're not in it to say, well, I'll try, Lord. You know, I'll do my very best here, but I may run out of breath. I may not be able to run as far as somebody else. No, 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 no. When we come to this race, when we come to this chapter, we are in it to win it. We are not there to simply just loaf along. We are in it to win this race. Are we in competition with others? Not necessarily. We are in it to win it, though. We are there to compete to the very end, and we want to be those who finish it. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls it to us. The author of the book of Hebrews says, this is your task. You are not to fall by the wayside. You are not to give up. You are not to say it's too tough. You are in this race to win the race. And that needs to be your attitude, that that's who I am as an individual. And I want to finish this race, and I want to do the very best that I possibly can in the race that is set before me and what is here. And that really brings us down, if you will, to verse 14. That's where you're at in the study of this particular chapter of the book of Hebrews. And verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, I'd like to go a little further too, but you know what? We're not even going to finish this verse today because we want to look at this in its depth and what it really says to us, because it talks about a relationship that I have with my God. And it talks about where I am and who I am and what's going to go on. I am to pursue victory. I am to give it every ounce of effort that I possibly have, and under the power of God's Spirit in my life, yielded to Him, accomplish the task that has been set before Him. The goals along the way are going to be listed here in the text before us. And there are two that are here that we're going to begin to look at. One of them is peace. Now, am I talking about world peace? Now, I'm not talking about world peace here. Am I talking about a piece of pie? No, I'm not talking about a piece of pie. That's a different spelling anyway. I got that. I understand that. This is going to be a peace that is in here. You have to understand that the transformation of a person's life is when God touches their heart, and then their actions, their behavior, their words are changed. You know who's going to identify this peace? Who's going to see this peace and say, that is a man of peace? Everybody else. Everybody is going to look at you and they are going to say, you're exuding the characteristics of peace. You are such a peaceful individual. You are taking forth the very gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing with others because you have peace. And it's in that aspect that God constantly works with us as He makes the change in my life, in my heart, in my soul and spirit. And then that transforms into how my relationship with all the others around me. That's how the gospel moves forward in the world today. That's how you will be known. Later I'm going to challenge you by this. Do you have enough guts? Let's not use guts. Do you have enough courage? Let's use courage. Do you have enough courage to ask somebody, do you see me as a person of peace? Or have I been consumed with a bitterness? Or have I been consumed with, it's my right? Have I been consumed with the aspect that says, I'm in charge and you'll do it my way? Or have you been given and granted the peace of God that comes out and solves issues and problems and heals people's difficulties? We're told basically this, that everybody you come into contact with, everybody you shake hands with, everybody you say hi to has a problem. And so we say, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. Sometimes I'd like to say, no, you're not. What's your real problem? What is the difficulty? What is the pain that you're facing today? What is the trouble? What is the biggest issue in your life today? Because there is one. There really is. So do we just glance it off and say, okay, you said fine, I'm moving on. You know, I got my own problems. I don't need to deal with yours. Or have we become like Christ? And we bring healing. We bring compassion. It's not that we have to probe or pick them apart, but we can encourage them. And it comes from here. And it comes forth in our words, in our actions. How we treat each other. How we treat the people we don't even know. Or the businessman that comes to my door. Are we known? Would you have the courage to ask the people who are closest to you and will really tell you the truth? Are you a person of peace? Look at verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Aha! The second goal that's listed in this passage as we run this race, the first one is peace, the second one is holiness. But we're not even going to get to holiness today because we're going to talk about peace. I want to talk about this one goal. Are we in it to win it? Are we becoming a person of peace? Has He so touched my life? Has He been able to heal the hurts of my life and to change the direction of my life so that I can share that with others? It says that in 1 Corinthians. Comfort others as you have been comforted, it says. Yeah, it talks about that whole aspect there. But first of all, I want to talk to you for a moment about the word pursue. Okay, and if you're reading the King James, it probably says follow. And that's the way the word is used in the King James. It says, really, follow peace with all people. But I want you to know, I think it has much greater emphasis than just that. The New American Standard uses the word pursue along with the New King James here. The New Living Translation says, work at living with all people with peace. Work at living. The NIV says, make every effort. The ESV says, strive for. I want you to know this word, follow. We think about just following somebody. Okay, you start off and I'll follow you. No. That's not the emphasis of the word here. It means to actually to strive for, to agonize with, to be in a sense of training that I am working at this every day. I'm amazed when I watch ice skating. Now, I don't watch ice skating a lot, but once in a while I'll watch ice skating. And then they start talking about the people who are winning at the Olympics with ice skating. And they said, well, when I was 6 years old, I would get up 3 hours before school and spend it ice skating. And then at my lunch break, I'd ice skate. And then after school, I'd spend 5 hours ice skating. And every weekend, I would ice skate all weekend. And on Sundays, too, I would ice skate. And I ice skated, and I ice skated, and I ice skated. And now I'm 35 years old, and I ice skated all my life, every second that I've had. And I'm like, that's training. And why did they do it? Because they were in it to win it. It wasn't just a sidelight of their life. They were in it to win. They wanted to go all the way. They wanted to finish at the very top. They wanted to be the best of the best. And when it comes to Christianity, that's the race you're in. You want to be the best of the best. You want God to live through you, to empower you, to inspire you. And you want to live in such a way that when the Apostle Paul and others talk about the world of athletics, really are talking about the training that it takes to win it all and to be the best that you can be. I used to like that Army. I think it was Army, didn't they? Be all you can be in the Army or something like that. Yeah, it went like that. And I'm like, that should be a Christian slogan. That should be on to every Christian. Be all that you can be as a believer in Christ. And He calls us to that. And He uses this illustration here for us to remind us of how important it is to pursue, to strive for, to work at, to make every effort possible. This particular word, it means to pursue in that direction, to endeavor earnestly to accomplish the task. It's intensified. It's not just follow along. It's intensified. That you would become like the very best. You want to be in it to win it. And they give us something to follow. They give us the pattern. Jesus Christ. Because He won it all. He is the best of the best. And they said, if you want to have a goal, you want to follow someone, He is the one that you need to follow. And you need to follow. Here's the definitive aspect of training. You want to know how to train? Learn to live at peace with everyone. Now, wait a minute. Let's back up. I looked at all the commentaries, studied all the books, and look at them. And every time they said, oh yeah, you're supposed to live with everyone, then they would put a disclaimer, but. And they would list all these reasons why you can't do it. And I'm like, does that sound appropriate? I mean, everybody that I read and everybody I looked at said, well, you know, there's a condition here somewhere. Surely we can't all live at peace with everyone. It can't be done. I'm like, okay. I don't want to travel that road. Next week, come back and I'll give you a list when you don't have to be at peace with everybody, okay? That's the disclaimer for next week. That's the hook, you know, to bring you back, yeah. But we're going to talk about that just a little bit in regards to peace. But today, my message is, I want you to live at peace with everyone. If I read the passage again, pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace. Endeavor. Strive for. That's what it says. Let's look at that and let's think about that in our lives. We are to work at living in peace. We are to work at living a holy life. Those are training goals in our lives. So let's talk about winning at peace. Let's talk about that aspect if we possibly can. Now, is this an isolated passage? Or does it say anywhere else that we are to live with peace with people? I want to take you back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. And if you have studied the book of Romans, you know that the latter passages of the book of Romans are the practical exhortations. Early on in Romans, man, he's whacking out the doctrine. He's saying this is what we should do and who we should be. Bam, bam, bam. This is what you need to believe. In the latter portion, he says this is now, if you believe this, this is who you become. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Well, let's go. Let's not. It's too long. This passage actually starts in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, and cling to that which is good. Those are practical goals, okay? We could talk about each and every one of those. But look at verse 18. Here's where I want you to go. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There it is. Live peaceably with all men. This is not an unusual, isolated verse in Scripture. This is something that he talks about, that he refers to. And he said this was the life of Jesus Christ, who is at the forefront of who we are to be like in our Christ-likeness. And this is something that needs to be part of who we are. And yet, as I said before, there are those who simply say, I don't think it can be done. I'm wondering about that. And the training, and the winning of the training that is there. I can't because. Let's make excuses. What about Jesus in this situation, and how about him over here? You know, if there is really that which we are to have, what difference does it make? Someone has written these words: bitterness, anger, and disappointment are all negative feelings that emanate from our past. They are. Let me read it again. Bitterness, anger, and disappointment. And if you really think very hard, you could probably go back and find something in your life of all of those areas. And maybe you could even find something that has not been resolved and continues. When you think about it, it just angers you. Or it brings a bitterness to your heart and your life. Or it was a great disappointment. When we get into training, when we get into the training of God, he says you need to deal with that in your life. You will never have peace until you finally resolve that issue. Until you forgive the person or the circumstances or the events, because you want to be the best that you can. And bitterness and anger and disappointment will be like a weight around your ankles. Did you read that earlier in the book, verse 12? Okay. Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Well, anything that would be the opposite of peace will ensnare you, capture you, and hold you captive, and keeping you from being all that you can be and winning the race and finishing it strong for the Lord. Then he goes on in this quote that I have here. Anxiety and fear are emotions that are experienced in anticipation of future events. Anxiety and fear. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen to that loved one that may be in the hospital and being taken care of? What about the fear that overcomes us? What about the anxiety of what tomorrow holds? Because those things will capture and hold us and keep us from being all that we can be. Those are the things that we need to come to peace with the Lord. We need to turn those over to God in our lives. He goes on to say, these attitudes exert undue influence on us when we allow them to control our ongoing state of mind. They rob us of what really matters in the moment. And in the moment is to find rest and peace in Christ. My, what's going to happen to my child? You know, I thought I poured everything into him of Christianity. I gave him everything and they've deserted it all. Anxiety, fear. When can we come and say, Lord, I pray and I trust. I pray and I trust. And I can rest in you. I can. And I have the peace that you grant to me. See, the proof that you have the peace of God is in your action. It's in what comes out of your life. And there we come back to the question. Dare you ask someone, am I a person of peace? Am I? When I talk to you and when I share with you, do I bring peace to you? Do I help to encourage you and move you along in your Christian faith? Or am I a complainer and a whiner? I felt like that this morning. I went to Cecil and I said, Cecil, the doors aren't working. I felt like a whiner all over again. Now, a door is a little simple thing, but I thought about it in reference to what I was going to say today. I should have said, Cecil, you're such a wonderful door repairman. Would you take care of these doors for me? What a whole different approach that would have been. Cecil, they don't work. Would you fix them? And that's what I said. And I thought, well, I can do that different. I can approach that subject completely differently. I could have encouraged him, made him feel good, and rather than, you know, yeah, I put those on. I'll fix them. I'll get them right someday. You know, it's like, no, no. God, can you rule in my heart so I say things that will exude peace and rest and helpfulness? I think that's what he's talking about. And I don't want any excuses. We don't need excuses.
Oh, I can't live with them. You know how they are.
I'm like, what? Where's God in this? Is he bigger than you? Bigger than them? Bigger than us? Can he do it in our life? I wonder. The second passage, or the second part of this, is holiness. But holiness is going to be a little bit more difficult. If you notice in verse 14, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now there's some interesting words there. It's an interesting concept. Because this is not holiness in the sense of sanctification, although it has come from that. But it's actually holiness in action. Has there been a sanctification that can be revealed on the outside? Has there been a holiness that has changed you on the inside and has conformed you to the image of Christ so that then you can use it with those who are around you? In the race, I can tell you right now that you need to be training for peace and you need to be training for holiness, but we'll deal with holiness next time. There is an inner peace that reveals itself in how you relate to people. J. Vernon McGee, I know he's a favorite of a lot of yours, you have his books, and he's still on the radio, even though he's passed into the Lord's presence, says this: we should make this one big cross-country race where there are a lot of us running together in the Christian life. That's right, because this is a cross-country race. This is not a lap around the track or a mile around the track. This is cross-country until the day that I step into his presence and we appear, Barbara, before his throne on that day. That's the race that we have before us. One of the songs that we sang, verse 3 says this, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. This week, think about being a person of peace. And it really deals with you having peace here. This week, in your training for the race, get rid of bitterness from the past and disappointment and the hurt that it brings. And when the thought comes back, you go, oh, I don't want to live that again. Let him heal your soul and your spirit. And then move forward. In anticipation of what's happening, say, Lord, it's your world, your day. I'm just your messenger and the servant that you have. Take me through each day, each event, each circumstance. For I want to be a person of peace. I want to make every effort to live at peace with everyone. Everyone. Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you have provided this time for us. And as we read God's word, may it not just be words, but maybe the thoughts and ideas and patterns that jump off the page at us and take root in our heart. And will teach us all over again how we are to live. It was written to Titus that we are to live godly in this present age. Part of that godliness is a training in taking the peace of God that changes me on the inside and shares it with those who are around me. I thank you, Lord, that none of us have made it, that the race is still going on, and that I have time to train and to tone that muscle of peace, that I may learn to shape my words, and maybe even more importantly, I will learn in my thinking process to desert that which is harmful and hurtful. And think in terms of how to help and to heal and to be an encouragement. Father, we are the people of your hand, your children. And you've prepared us to run this race in this life, in this time. I ask that you strengthen us, and that you encourage us, and you cause us to walk and to run with you. As you empower us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.